I do not want to talk about Draymond Green. I was just telling my wife, watch this day. We don't have to talk about Draymond. Let's talk about what was on the floor and when. That's what I want to talk about. Well, I want to talk about the way Kevon Looney was out there balling. And one thing I've seen with Steve Kerr, he coached his butt off. And like the other caller said, when we started off winning, we started playing with a lot of players. Now, if you notice, we had injuries. We stopped. We started playing with 8 players, 9 players. We have to start playing with more players like we did, especially with the younger generation. Because as you notice, like Shasky said, with the energy, the older guys don't always have it. But the younger guys have that energy with the other young guys. And that's what they are doing, getting confidence. We have to keep playing like that and stop. And Bonte, I love what you're saying. You keep on defending Wiggins. We cannot trade Wiggins. We cannot trade Kuminga. On the open market, everybody you guys talking about, Zach LaVine, Jimmy Butler, man, these cats is over the hill. And one thing I know about Joe Lacob, he didn't get that $9 billion for being dumb. That $9 billion came for being smart. I love the Warriors organization, and we're going to stand still on the trade, and we're going to let it play out. Kuminga is not here, and when Draymond get back, I know the Draymond hate is real, but Draymond is going to help the team out, man, and Kuminga, man. The Warriors are going to be a good team, man. Draymond, y'all just got to keep the love. Hey,
thanks for the call, Oscar. Draymond's day-to-day. He may be back next week when they hit the road. Obviously, 2 more home games during this huge stretch here against Phoenix Friday night, Orlando on Monday. You got a chance to get greedy and possibly improve to 6-3 before hitting the road. Where you got it. This is a long road trip coming up, and it actually lasts through the All-Star break when they open up the second half of the season in Sacramento. But Shasky, they got 2 more home games here, Phoenix and Orlando. They ain't go to Utah, Lakers on the back-to-back, Chicago, Milwaukee, Dallas, and then Houston. And by the time they play Dallas February 12th, Luka Doncic may be back. Then you got the Houston Rockets on the back end of a back-to-back right before the All-Star break when all our minds are going to be on the All-Star break. And they're going to be in H-Town taking on the Rockets trying to improve on their season. So, again, it doesn't get any easier. They need all hands on deck. And we got to see a lineup consistently, something, before you get to the deadline. But, man, it's coming rapidly.
I don't think you're going to get a chance to see it. It looked like Draymond, you guys had a still shot of there's the camera, and it was people like warming up before the game. And it looked like Draymond was passing the ball, but he wasn't moving around. Mm. So I don't know. They said he resumed on-court, you know.
On-court activity, yeah.
Yeah, but I don't know what that meant. Anyway, I'm just saying, like, what I saw on the pregame show, it looked like he was, like, throwing passes and stuff. I'm sure
he's starting to ramp it up. He's starting to ramp it up.
Yeah, so do you think he plays in the next 6 days?
Oh, yeah, I think he plays. He might play on Monday. He might play on Monday before traveling out to Utah. He might play. Now, what role will he have? I don't know. He may come back in the starting lineup. I don't know what Steve Kerr is going to do here with Draymond Green. But Warriors do win against Oklahoma City, a huge win. Start. 116-109. He might not. He came off the bench earlier this season, so who knows what the hell Steve Kerr is going to do. But the Warriors do get the big win last night over Oklahoma City. Last segment brought to you by Golden State, serving the Bay Area for 3 generations. When you succeed, we succeed. Visit GoToStateLumber.com. You are listening to 1095.7 The Game, KGMZ FM, and HD1 San Francisco. Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app. Let's go to Uncle Gene, Shasky. Uncle Gene, what's up?
Morning, fellas.
So,
hey,
Uncle Gene.
I want to build on what you've been saying, Bonte, and the last caller. Do not trade Wiggins. Any thought of that? I mean, listen, I mean, arguably, he's our number one player right now. I mean, just look at the way he's playing. With all due respect to Steph, you can see the age catching up to him and his knees and all that. He's still a very good player, but Wiggs is our number one. You know, and the notion of getting rid of him, as you said, he's been a great teammate. He's starting to emerge, taking more, you know, a more control of things. He's become a much better offensive player. He's always been our best defensive player. And, you know, while someone like Jimmy Butler, who's making twice as much money and is 6 years older, will continue to demand more money. Wiggs, as you recall, left money on the table. So, you know, leave that guy alone, support him, and move on.
Good call, Uncle Gene. He last night, 10-17, 27 points. He's guarding, whether it's SGA, whether it's LeBron James, whether insert top small forward slash power forward slash shooting guard in the league every single night. Last night, 38 minutes and 21 seconds. If I could avoid trading that, and I don't even know why we're talking about it. They just got a big win yesterday. But I want to keep this guy in his contract, man. Wiggins is a guy you could build around. If you've had the right pieces. Now, Steph Wiggins is a great starting point, and I get it. You got to trade to get something if you want to get something, but I don't think nothing's out there at the deadline right now that's going to net you something better than Andrew Wiggins. Right now, who'd you rather have, Andrew Wiggins or Jimmy Butler? I mean, Jimmy Butler's been a headache. Like, honestly, would you want to deal with the headache of Jimmy Butler? Do people really want that? I guess there are people that want that. I don't. I'd rather have a low-maintenance guy. He's not going to bark back. He's going to go out there and just try to ball on both ends of the floor, and that's Andrew Wiggins. He's having a hell of a bounce back. If I have to trade and improve in other areas, then I'm looking past Andrew Wiggins. I got to keep this guy.
I think most people feel that way this morning, but I would say that the reason that we're talking about it is because the Warriors have been linked by credible, you know, people that cover the league over and over and over and over again with what feels like everybody, whether it's the Bulls, the Heat, like they're in on all these things. And then all these guys have interest in playing in Golden State. So whether that's real.
Yeah, I don't know what's
or
real.
Not. Like that's why I think everyone's talking about it. And also because the guys have talked about it. Right. Like I'm talking about the three guys, as in Steph, Kerr, and Draymond.
888-957-9570 is the number. Let's go to Corey in North Carolina. Corey, what's up?
Come on, fellas. Good morning.
Good morning, Corey.
I just started working in finance like 2 years ago. And one thing about people like Joe Lacob, they look for leverage. And I really think last night he kind of looked at Draymond and said, okay, you've been saying you want to be a team player. You want to do what's best for the team. You don't want us to make trades that are going to affect the future. Cool. Now I got a little bit of leverage over you because I look at that. I look at that win and I say, we did it without you. That 14-point lead that we erased didn't turn to 21 because someone got a technical. We had to fight through that. And Steve Kerr didn't have to calm anybody down, and it just looked a lot easier to deal with. So I think if Draymond does not come back and produce and also just kind of keep his mouth shut, it might be curtains for him.
Well, that's not going to happen. He had a podcast yesterday with Tim Hardaway Sr.
No, I think he means like with the Warriors.
Oh, that's not happening. I mean, we think Draymond's going – we're going to just put a muzzle on Draymond.
No, I think he meant like, curtains just, in terms of his like playing time, I guess.
Oh, that's not.
I'm interpreting that way.
I mean, I don't know what he was saying.
Well, what he was saying is that, you know, he works in the world of finance, and he was saying that Joe Lacob is a money guy, and you know, this is how money guys think. They're like, hey, when I have leverage, I'm able to be able to negotiate better with individuals on a one-on-one basis. And because the team's shown a little life without Draymond, and you know, maybe they don't need him as much as they've needed him before. Maybe now they've got a little leverage to be able to send him back to a reduced role or a different role or something. I don't know. I think that's where he was going with that.
All right. That's fair.
I have a hard time thinking that the coach is going to revert back to, like, look, he's played, I don't know, what is it? I'm trying to count here. So he's played almost 700 games, okay, since he became a starter. Seven times he hasn't started in the regular season of the 700 games. I have a hard time thinking, until we see it for weeks on end, I have a hard time thinking he's anything other than a starter.
So he's played 847 games over the course of his career in a regular season. He started 692 games in the first couple years. His rookie year only started one game. Sophomore year started 12 games. And then 2014-15, he took off and hasn't left the starting lineup really since then. So I don't know. I don't know what Corey of North Carolina was getting to. I mean, do the Warriors have leverage? I don't know. I thought they had leverage a couple years ago. They gave him $100 million in a player option.
If you were building the best roster to win on a nightly basis, why isn't that they haven't considered changing his role out of being a starter?
I don't know. I mean,
do you think that gives them their best chance of winning every night?
I don't think so. Okay. I don't think so at all. But this team has a lot of different parts here, right? A lot of these pieces have to fit with the puzzle. And you talk about his four-time champ with Steve Kerr, who's been linked to him and stuff. I just don't see it happening. Like, I don't. Because on any given night, you may not play Kyle Anderson. On any given night, you may not play Kevon Looney. On any given night, you may not play Quentin Post. I think we're going to guarantee that Draymond's going to play. He's going to play.
Yeah, I know, but he wants to start. And so I do believe that he'll...
Yeah, I mean, sure, he wants to start. But I also think he realized that if it's for the betterment of the team and he can preserve his body, Kuminga may start. It may be the right move to start. Now, I don't know why they aborted Mitchell so damn fast the last time he came off the bench, but he played his 25 minutes and 30 minutes. I don't know.
Well, I think that
he didn't play last night. So, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not worried about Draymond Green right now. I worry about Draymond Green when he gets back on the floor. He hasn't been on the floor in over a week and a half. And right now, they're trying to find consistency. And I'm trying to enjoy a damn win here. They played well. Wiggins played well. Curry woke up in the second half. Schroeder had one of his better games. Pods is back. Kevon Looney did his thing. Like, Draymond right now is out of sight, out of mind for me.
Yeah, but
I heard enough from Draymond last week with the whole Jordan Poole thing. And when he comes back, I'll talk about him. And we'll see how it looks. We'll see how it plays out. But right now, I think our focus should be, can you win enough games with this core right now? We were having a conversation yesterday, standing pat or making a trade or selling or whatnot. And I don't know. I'm just not worried about Draymond Green. He's not on the floor. Just like Pods. How much did we talk about Pods when he was out for 12 games? We didn't talk much about Pods. We didn't talk much about him at all. Kuminga right now. We're bringing up Kuminga here and there, but we ain't talking about him ad nauseum.
Well, Kuminga's a guy they got to make a decision on, though.
They will. And when they
about this because the trade deadline is 6 days away.
Right.
That's why.
But
glimpses of what the team looks like without certain players in the lineup, and you're trying to balance out, like, all right, what could you get? What's out there? Can you improve things? What do you look like without this guy? What do you look like without that guy? That's why. And then you have this decision to make because you're $7 million over the cap right now, and then you have to clear some of that money to be able to give yourself movement in the offseason. You have a restricted free agent in Jonathan Kuminga who was already, by reports, sent down a $30 million contract extension.
We've talked about this for 6 months. We've talked about this forever. What about the game last night where they outlasted OKC and showed glimpses that, damn, when they get down and dirty and show some grit and show some fight, they can hang with one of the better teams in the league?
Well, I think that
the trade deadline's not going anywhere.
Is that,
you know,
they did all that without Draymond Green.
For
and that
game.
Was pretty impressive.
It was pretty impressive. But they've also looked terrible without Draymond Green in some of these games.
No doubt. And when they've looked bad with him.
Right.
There's no doubt about that.
But we got to play both sides here.
You know, it's interesting. Like, I don't know how much to be excited about that win because they've had lots and lots of... It was a great win. It was a freaking great win. They've had lots and lots of great moments like that. And then they revert back and you lose to a team like the Raptors, for example. So, it's tough. It's tough. I wish that they could sustain this.
Well, they haven't had a three-game winning streak since November 15th. So that's what they're going for January 31st against the Phoenix Suns on Friday.
They
haven't won
great.
Three in a row since November 15th. So whether Draymond's been on the floor or off the floor, this team overall has been inconsistent. They're 24-23. So we'll talk more about it with Oreo Cookie on the other side. More of your phone calls, 888-957-9570. We're getting closer to the knockout tournament keyword that happened between 8 and 8:30. And then, of course, we'll give it away a spot in the knockout tournament between 8:30 and 9. That's all coming up. Brought to you by MB Jesse Penny.
There's that chant. We have not heard it too much this year here at Chase. That Warriors chant echoing through Chase Center. Schroeder with the ball at the logo. Guarded by Gilgeous Alexander. Goes by him. Hand off Payton. Goes up. Oh! He dunked it on Hartenstein. Little elevation sensation for GP2. And the Warriors lead 114 to 105.
Hey, Dub Nation. It's GP2 here. The Morning Roast with Bonte Hill and Joe Shasty is live on YouTube and Twitch right now. Time for you to like and subscribe.
GP2. Season high, 15 points. Season high, tying, 9 rebounds, 5 of 7 from the floor, and more importantly, made all 5 of his free throw attempts. Warriors get a big win. Does it mean anything to anybody out there? 888-957-9570, Dub Nation. Was this win a fluke to you? How are you feeling about the Dub? They just beat the number one team in the NBA. Thunder had won 3 straight in the Bay Area. They snapped that streak. They went 2 or 3 against OKC this season. That's a big deal. They get a big win last night. They're now 4-3 during this pivotal 9-game stretch. Can they get to 6-3 for crying out loud? How are we feeling, Dub Nation, or do you think it's a one-off? You think they just caught lightning in a bottle? And I can hear the excuses. I mean, for the Oklahoma City side, they had 18 more field goal attempts. They were only 9-39 for the three-point line. They out-rebound the Warriors on the offensive end 17-7 and out-rebound them overall plus 8, 50-42. But how are we feeling, Dub Nation, about the win? How are you feeling, Chasky?
I thought it was a great win, but it's difficult. Like, and I'll give this analogy, and I want your opinion on this. You know, like, there's been a lot of strain for the last couple of months on this team, on this roster, and on Steph Curry's face, on the coach's face. And I think about relationships, you know, think about, you know, some sort of a relationship you're in where fighting and there's a lot of strain and, you know, you're thinking about breaking up, or maybe you've been thinking about breaking things up and changing something, right? And then you go on a nice little, you know, go away dinner or a vacation for the weekend. Does that solve all your problems? I don't know. Sometimes it does. Sometimes for people, there's like a, you know, couples therapy, right? And you have like a weekend and you can kind of recalibrate and you get back together. And most times it doesn't, you know? So I'm looking at this from the Thunder aspect of, it feels like multiple years now, the Warriors really match up well against the Thunder, and I can't put my finger on it. I don't know why that is. All their games seem to be very exciting. Yep.
Coming down to the wire.
Why do you think that is? Yeah,
I think OKC sometimes shows his age, and I think just by looking at him last night in the playoffs, I could see where they could need to add. They could add another shooter, right? Lou Dort last night, 0-for-4 from the 3-point line. He's hot and cold from there. Caruso left the game with the left ankle sprain.
I think that was a huge,
big injury there.
Yeah, I would agree.
He only played 22 seconds last night. Sprains the ankle, boom, he's out.
Yeah.
So you don't have one of your rotational players. SGA is a solid player, and we haven't seen him with Chet.
He's so awesome. I mean, but Chet's Warriors, awesome too.
The Warriors do match up with him because they take quality shots. But on the flip side, OKC is so damn athletic that they don't have to switch anything. You can go say Warriors. So it's like, it's almost like the old guard trying to hang on as a new kid comes on the block here at OKC, and the Warriors aren't ready to relinquish that throne yet to Oklahoma City. So I don't know why they match up so well with them. They've had some great games over the last couple of years. Some great games.
It's wild to me because, like, I'm trying to balance these things out. Like, I watched you look so bad against the Boston Celtics at full strength, and then you win a game like you did last night where you're shorthanded, and obviously they are with no Chet and no Caruso, but, like, that's still an impressive win. Shea went for 53 or 52 or whatever it was.
52.
I mean,
31, you know, in the first half.
Maybe it's they funnel so much through him, others can't get as,
hey, I don't get
as
it.
Rolling. But Jalen was rolling, I thought, for times yesterday. I thought Isaiah Joe kicked our butt. I don't know. I don't know what it is about that team, but I do like the pace of play when we play them.
Right. No, you got to push it against them. You got to make sure you push it. You can't get caught sleeping. Fast break points yesterday. The Warriors actually won the fast break points 18-5.
That's it.
Against a younger team, that's the youngest random team in the league. So some people think it's a fluke. I'm not sure 100% why they match up so well with OKC, because on paper it looks like a mismatch. But Andrew Wiggins and GP2 are able to get in front of SGA, and I know he scored 52 points. I mean, he had a night. He got to the free throw line 21 times and made 18 of them. But I thought they made him work in the second half. They made him work. No, I'm not talking about Rihanna and Drake, but they made him work last night at Chase Center. So it's a very fascinating, like, that's why some people were dreaming last night saying, boy, if you match up with OKC in the first round, what would it look like? Do the Warriors have a shot? But some people believe they do against this team.
I don't know what it would look like. I have no idea what it would look like. But again, that's why I ask about, you know, the relationship thing, because it's like the Warriors have been strained. And I thought last night was a huge win. That's back-to-back wins.
Right.
Well, obviously, you didn't have Curry the night before. So I don't know what the big takeaways are. Like, at some point, they're reintroducing Draymond back into this. Right, and that's going to change how they play basketball. It just does. He's a very specific player, and guys' roles around him start to adjust, which goes back to the whole starting lineup and 8 gazillion. You guys showed it on the
28 different lineups, most in the league, tied with Philadelphia and New Orleans. Or New Orleans is up there on that list. Utah's on that list, and there's another bad team on that list as well. They're all teams that are either out of the box or barely in the box, and the Warriors are trying to get into the box. Right now, they're a half game up. are tied with Sacramento, but don't have the tiebreaker due to Sacramento being 2-0 against the Golden State Warriors, but you beat Phoenix. All of a sudden, Phoenix has 23 losses. Then you look at the 6-seed, the LA Clippers. You're not going to win a tiebreaker against them, but you are 3 games back in the loss column against them. You're 4 back in the loss column against behind Denver and the Lakers. And you still play the Denver Nuggets a couple more times, and you play the Lakers a couple more times. So plenty of time to flip this thing. 4 games in a loss column, but you got to start stacking wins here because you saw Sacramento. They were red hot. Red hot, 9-1 in their last 10, and they barely got into the box. Now they're back at 24-23, and their superstar, their franchise player, wants out. He wants to be in San Antonio. So they're a mess right now. They're going to start dropping Sacramento, that is. The beam's not going to be lit as much as frequently as it was the last couple weeks. So everybody's going to save on their PG&E bill up there in Sacramento and Elk Grove and Rockland and all those areas up there. Sacramento's, the fade is coming. Trust me. The fade is coming with them. Hey, you can bank that one.
I love how, like you are so 100% positive on that. And it's just, I love
you
that.
Gotta talk
the
that talk,
NBA Justin. Has a problem right now, ladies and gentlemen.
See, I go on their shows up in Sacramento, and I show a rep the Bay. And I talk that talk. And that's why they can respect it. Hey, Sacramento, you're going down. You had your fun in the sun. Have fun with your banner that you raised after January 5th when you beat the Warriors by 30 at Chase Center. The Warriors are one that blew an 18-point lead against Sacramento. Nobody worried about Sacramento anymore. their fun in the sun is done.
No one's worried about Sacramento.
Nobody's worried about Sacramento.
Like 1,000 teams in the standings.
Sacramento, man. Let's go. You got to feel confident after a win.
What did you
know what? I'm getting arrogant after a win like that.
What did you call it?
Whackermino.
Whackermino. I don't think I've heard that.
Whackermino. Sacktown. What's up? I'm feeling good. They just beat the Thunder, damn it. I'm not, you know what? You're not going to rain on my parade. Joy, we're talking trades, all that nonsense. I'm talking about Andrew Wiggins, showed championship heart last night. How about Kevon Looney? Can we finally put some respect on Kevon Looney's name? Old man Loon. Loon dog. Tying the career high with 18 points. Championship heart, championship grit. You know, one thing I was thinking about, too, when I was thinking about this last night on the way home, like those great Laker teams, Spadoni, you're a Laker fan. You know about the Lakers left and right. They held on to their core players for so long. Why? Championship heart. Why did Kurt Rambis stick around for so damn long? Why did Byron Scott stick around for so damn long? Why did Michael Cooper stick around for so long?
Sure.
Championship heart, championship grit. Those players don't grow on trees. All respect to Loon Dog. I'm feeling good right now. My games woke up. Warriors get the big win. I'm feeling arrogant today. Go beat up on the Suns on Friday, and then it sets up a monster matchup against Orlando. Let's go. Come on.
I'm
all this doom and gloom this week. We're over 500 BOKC. Let's go.
Well, I think the problem is that this team's been so inconsistent this year. They'll win a game like that, and then they'll drop a game to, you know, someone super random, like the Raptors. You know? Like, they'll struggle against a Utah team that's begging you to beat them. Like, literally begging you to beat them. So, I'd like to see the 3-game win streak.
Yeah, let's do it. First time since November 15th. No, you don't have to be all in. I'm not all in. Look, I know you are. But I'm not. Look.
But that's what this team has done to me this year.
This is what it is, man. I'm trying to look for guys I could build around. I'm trying to look for guys I could build with. And right now, I know I could build with Wiggins. That's for damn sure. I hope y'all bought stock into him before the season. I was right about something around here. And then Looney. Look, I don't know if he's a 25-minute player. I don't know if he's a 15-minute player. But whenever he gets in the damn game, he doesn't look overwhelmed. He's going to be in the right spot. I could leave him one-on-one. Sure, some centers may have their way against him. But he's going to bust his ass and give you maximum effort. And a guy is a winner. Can we just put that on Kevon Looney? The guy's a winner. He's a winner. Let's go to Oreo Cookie in Oakland. I'm fired up right now. Just beat the number one team in the league. Let's go, Dub Nation. Oreo Cookie.
That's right, baby. You're right. Hey, you're right, man. That was a good win. Excellent win. The vibes were great. People were smiling. You know, they were hustling, man. You got to see that. You got to see that as where Kerr has wanted this team to have some confidence. They had some confidence last night. They had some joy. Let's see what he does with that confidence. He has to build it up. Let them keep playing. Let them keep going. I liked what I saw yesterday, man, minus Draymond. Now, when it comes to Draymond and Kerr, you might have to force your hand, man. You might have to just get rid of Draymond for, like, 2 second rounders and a bag of chips, man. Send him to the Lakers, you know, addition by subtraction type of thing. Because what I saw last night, man, I loved it, man. I want to see more of it. We don't want to see what we're used to seeing with Draymond. But something came to me last night that I want to share with you guys.
Okay.
Give me a second here.
Yeah.
It's cold out here for a pimp trying to get the money for the rent. When Shasky and Bonte spit, got all the roasters in the bay getting lit. Holla at your boy.
Well played, Oreo Cookie.
I love it.
Well played, Oreo Cookie.
I love it.
I love it. He said Draymond for 2 second round picks and what?
A bag of chips. Is it barbecue? Are we going salt and vinegar? It depends on the flavor.
Or Ruffles.
I like
Ruffles,
the green onion and sour cream.
Yeah, I like the Ruffles, good. Cheddar, and sour cream.
I'm not mad at that.
Honestly, I like all of the flavors. It depends the type. Like, I like to, I mix and match. Like, okay, today I'm salt and vinegar.
Right.
Tomorrow I'll be green onion.
Why not?
Casey Masterpiece Lay's barbecue.
Now, is that a Freestyle of the Year nominee?
It might be.
I just put it in the folder of our freestyle. So,
there it is.
It's our first freestyle of the year.
Hey, man, let's go to Chi-Town. Let's go to the Windy City. I know it's cold as hell out there.
Are we going directly to Zach LaVine?
No, we're going directly to Alexander. Oh. Alexander the Great in Chicago. Now, what part of Chicago are you in? Are you in River North? Are you on the west side? Where are you at, Alexander?
I'm in Naperville. I'm in the suburbs.
Naperville. Yeah, you in the Burns, baby.
Moving on up.
You got big money over there, Alexander. Yeah. Big money.
Yeah, I wouldn't say all that, man, but I mean, it is kind of pretty nice out this way, though, you know, but
nice.
Yeah, man, that's pretty much where I'm at. But first of all, thank God for having me on. I want to say something pretty much about the Andrew Wiggins trade and the Jimmy Butler trade, and I know y'all going to really hate me for this. Warriors Nation, y'all probably going to hate me for this, but I think they should make that trade. And here is why I would say that. First of all, it's so interesting for Warrior fans because, like, the last 2-3 years, Andrew Wiggins has been most hated. Like, we have this love-hate relationship with Andrew Wiggins where it's like the last 2 years, everybody was like, we need to trade Wiggins, we need to trade Wiggins, we need to trade Wiggins. And Wiggins, he wasn't playing games, he wasn't showing up. This game, he had 15, 20 points. The other game, you couldn't find him. You know what I'm saying? And Wiggins had his issues and different things like that. Me personally, I think Wiggins is a great player, and really, I would always give him his flowers, and I think he should go, man. I think we should go ahead and get off him, because another issue is a roster overload, which has been a constant issue with the Golden State Warriors, which is why we on these inconsistent runs right now, because Steve Kerr, he doesn't really have a lineup that he wants to stick with.
But let me ask you this. Alexander. By trading your best two-way player, how does that solve your problems? That's what I'm trying to figure out.
I don't think any trade solves problems.
I would rather just stand pat with a guy like Andrew Wiggins. I'm looking for other guys that maybe move. I have Andrew Wiggins on a team-friendly deal with the player option who can guard at a high level, give me 17, 18 a night. Go ask NBA players. Scoring at 17, 18 a night in the NBA is very hard, very difficult. We talk about it like it's easy.
That's true. But listen, we got to believe in Kuminga. We got to go with Kuminga versus Wiggs. If we're talking about the future, yeah, we got to really lock into Kuminga. Wiggins, he had his role. He had his go-around. He gave us a championship ring.
But why not keep both, Alexander? I think both can play together. Both can coexist. Kuminga right now is a four. It's obvious. Wiggins is the better perimeter player. You could play both these guys.
Warriors fans, they can't exist, man. It just can't. And as great as the game he had last night, like the game was like awesome. But it's just like you can't have both of them. If we keeping both of these guys, it's gonna be the same situation, and it's actually gonna get worse. And we gonna find ourselves being a team who can't even make the play in, because it's like now when Kuminga comes back, it's like, okay, should we go Wiggs or should we go Kuminga?
I think
same
go
thing
both.
With Kevon Looney and Gary Payton.
Alexander, I think there's other avenues to go here. I think you could go with Kuminga and Wiggins and play them together. I don't know when this lie started. I know Steve Kerr said it, and then all of a sudden he started playing them together. It was like, oh, wow, they can play together.
Well, no, I think where he's going with the redundancy is that there is like a cluster. So, like, everybody likes Gee. You want to see a little more post, but those guys are role players. But you also have TJD and you have Looney, and then you have Draymond, and then you have Kuminga, and you have Kyle Anderson. So there is a logjam of what I would call fours and fives.
No doubt.
Right.
But I can keep Wiggins and Kuminga. The rest I'm figuring out.
I think, Bonte, that would be most people's preference.
Okay, yeah, that's what Alexander said. He doesn't believe that Wiggins
and Kuminga.
So that's what I'm rebuttaling here.
Yeah, that's
his
opinion.
He said is that they can't play together, and I'm disagreeing with Alexander in Chicago, say that they can't play together. And we could go a different avenue on how to fix this roster. Kuminga's diving to the rim, dunking on your head. But on the perimeter, Andrew Wiggins got the full arsenal, man. He's got the one dribble pull-up. He's driving to the rim. He's playing on the three. Last night, 5 of 8 from the three-point line, for crying out loud. Catching and shooting. So smooth. So smooth. And then you get both of these guys on the defensive end of the floor, where I'm looking at the playoffs where the game does slow down. And they've got Jalen Williams and SGA, for example, Oklahoma City. When I get Wiggins or a combination of Dennis Schroeder, GP2, running around guarding SGA, and maybe, just maybe, Kuminga can stand pat. Now, he's not there defensively yet, but that's a guy who could put on a guy like Chet or Jalen Williams and let him run around on the perimeter and guard those guys. I got two really good wing defenders. When you got nothing but good wing players in the league, I'm hesitant to move off the wing players in Andrew Wiggins and Jonathan Kuminga. I think you could make it work with both of these guys. I truly do. I would go another avenue to try to maybe make room for another player or make another trade. But Wiggins and Kuminga, I think it got something there alongside Steph. I really do.
I think again, that's most people's preference. But then, you know, if you want to get something else at the deadline, which they're going to have to do here of significance, somebody's got to have a salary that's tradable. And you can't just give up all the expirings. And that's why Wiggins' name has been floated as much as it has. And then you see a game that he plays like last night, and it's tantalizing. And I guess some people throw up their hands and they go, man, can we see this more consistently? You know, and I would, my rebuttal would be like, this year, it's inarguable. Wiggins has been the most consistent guy on this team from start to finish. But he's also got one of the more, you know, easily tradable contracts, and he's desired around the league. And so that's why I think his name continues to pop up for a lot of people.
Yeah,
I'm reluctant. Look, I'm reluctant. You know who I want to move. I don't want to keep saying it because I'm going to sound like I'm doing reruns.
Wiggins is 29 years old, turns 30 February 23rd, the same day as my mom's birthday. Same day, February 23rd. Andrew Wiggins on the season, 17-5, 44% from the field, and 38% from the three-point line. Let's go to Miles in Fort Mason. Miles, what's up?
Hey, good morning, guys. And I'd say great win last night, but it's also kind of provides a reflection point. And, you know, up until the last, you know, 2 months, it's been a very frustrated fan base, as you guys are no strangers to. And kind of, we've gotten so used to winning, of course, duh. But we're, you know, so that's why it's so hard to tolerate this dysfunction that's right before us. And so I think, can the question to me now is, can the last two wins be an inflection point to kind of turn the tide a little bit, to give guys like Dennis Schroeder and Buddy Hield some confidence when they go out there? Because I think the whole thing about the potential trades is that our existing pieces are underperforming. And so if theoretically we had, you know, Schroeder even play to his averages, or the same with Buddy Hield and Pajemski, then I don't know if we're all talking about the need for trades as we are now, if the existing guys just kind of play to the mean. And on that note, I'd say the only thing that I see as a need is a 7-footer who can protect the rim a little bit, lay off, you know, TJD. I love him, but not quite there yet. And then Looney can't go, you know, 35 minutes plus. So I'd like to see a nice 7-footer, maybe Yusef Nurkic out of Phoenix. I mean, Alex Len's not playing a lot out in Sacramento, but someone like that, just big 7-footer, guard those big guys for 15, 20 minutes a game, you know, carry us through. So let's go, Dubs. Take care, guys.
Good call, Miles. What do you think about that?
Well, I think that he's right. Like, we've been frustrated for months. And so just because you have a really nice win, you know, people don't want to get caught with the banana in the tailpipe. And I understand that. Stay in the moment. Yeah, but you also have really big decisions that are going to kind of set up the arc of this organization.
No doubt.
Not just for the, like, big-time future, but for the last couple of years for Steph.
And we
right?
know that.
And I think that's why this is such a stressful time for everyone.
Just, you know, 5-1 Abonte, who are you willing to trade? Sounds like you don't want to trade anyone. I tell you what I don't want to trade. I don't want to trade Andrew Wiggins, and I certainly don't want to trade Stephen Curry. I really don't want to trade Jonathan Kuminga. Now, everything else is on the table. But what trade out there is going to make them substantially better? I think you may have more options after the season, and I get people will go crazy if the Warriors slip out at the deadline, which I don't think would necessarily happen, but that would be my move. Thank God I'm not the GM, because I don't see anything out there that's going to just catapult this team into the top five. Not everything on the trade market, but I could be wrong. There may be a four-team deal, maybe a three-team deal. Who the hell knows what's going to happen? But I'm not willing to trade right now just to trade. I just don't want to trade just to trade for Jimmy Butler or Nikola Vucevic or Zach LaVine. Like, if you ask me, I'd rather see Wiggins and the Quentin Pulses and the Guy Santoses to see what they are. Now, Vucevic is interesting because he's shooting over 40% for three. That's a real thing. But Zach LaVine, I don't know if I'm willing to mortgage things for Zach LaVine and that contract. I'm not there yet.
Let's say in this hypothetical, they did what the Giants did yesterday, which on the surface looks like we dumped the salary to get, you know, to get us some salary cap relief. That's what the San Francisco Giants did by trading a $7, $8, $9, $10 million left-handed reliever. If they trade $7, $8 million in salary to get under, because right now they're over the cap, to get under that cap, and that's all they did, how would that be received by everyone? How is that received by the locker room?
That's a great question. You're talking about guys whose settings are at winning. Their settings, Stephen Curry's at winning. Kevon Looney's, his setting is at winning. Wiggins now has a winning mentality. Kuminga's been here. He's part of the championship team his rookie season, but he's trying to help this organization win. Draymond Green wants to win. I don't know how it's going to be received. I don't know.
How
it's
is that received question. By the fans? They're going to lose their minds.
Well, I know the fans are going to do that. I'm talking about the locker room. Fans may lose their minds regardless of what happens. Regardless of what happens, the fans may lose their minds. That's just what we do. Stu got said it yesterday. Just crazy.
Yeah, but that's...
Game to game. Like, I wonder, like, Cam and Antioch, pop by the gatehouse. Cam and Antioch, who I called a goddamn idiot last week.
Okay.
He dropped by the gatehouse yesterday.
Love that phrasing, but keep going.
Well, yeah, probably not the best phrasing, but, you know, he said some wild things the last few weeks. But he came by the gatehouse yesterday. He had a Nike shoebox that he unfolded, and on the Nike shoebox, with the Sharpie, had written, "Fire Steve Kerr" all over the Nike shoebox. Fire Steve Kerr. Well, how do we feel about Steve Kerr today? Steve Kerr yesterday coached his ass off against Oklahoma City. He realized early on, okay, Quentin Post, this may be a little too much for him. OKC's all over him. So he only gets 8 minutes and 8 seconds. Feel for the game. Well, TJD didn't play yesterday. DMP did not play. Coach's decision.
He was trending so well for so long.
Exactly. Just made the all-rookie, made the Rising Stars Challenge. And then you get Kevon Looney, who plays 25 minutes. That's coaching. That's having a feel for your team. That's knowing, like, you know what? These guys are rolling. And I could already hear fans screaming when Stephen Curry got subbed out midway through the fourth quarter with the Warriors up 1-94-93. And I could already feel people saying, "Oh, Curry with these rotations, what are you doing?" Well, it worked out because they extended their lead by 4. So, Cam and Antioch with the Fire Steve Kerr post, Steve Kerr may have coached his best game last night. It was unbelievable as the head coach of the Golden State Warriors. So, again, I say that fans freak out during the game, after the game, before the game, during the game, during timeouts. They're going to freak out at the deadline.
Yeah, but that's baked they care, into it. Because they care. I think when you...
No, I think some people don't care. They just freak out just to freak out.
No, I think if we didn't care, it would just go on deaf ears.
I think there's people who care about the team, and there's people who care about Stephen Curry.
Well, that I agree with. That I absolutely agree with.
And that to me is like, nah, I mean, that's weak to me. That, go ahead.
Well, no, but I think what ends up happening with these legends and you know, people that have done a ton of winning or whatever, like, it becomes almost impossible to critique them and not sound like you're trying to run someone out of town. And, like, I think that there's many different freeway exits from this guy's an all-time great, you can't criticize him at all, and, wow, you criticize him a little and you want him out of town. No, like, we could still analyze what we're watching. There's been nights where I'm perplexed at some of the combinations that Steve Kerr's got out there, but then there's also nights where I look at the roster that he's been dealt, and I'm like, what do you expect him to do? Like, GP2, by design, because of the roster construction, is really important. Last night, Moses Moody, who everyone clamors for, there was a point in the game early where he's like, "I'm going to put Moses Moody on Shea." Shea blew by him, and Moses Moody looked like he was tying his shoes.
Right.
Poor guy, he got blown by. And I said in the thread to all you guys, well, that's why he doesn't play the two-guard spot.
Mm-hmm.
He's not a two-guard. He can't laterally move left right. Do I hate Moses Moody by just analyzing that one aspect of his game? No. Do most people struggle against Shea? Absolutely. That's why he dropped 50. But, like, that's why GP2's important, because he, on this team, is one of your best perimeter defenders, and you can't be allowing Shea Gilgeous-Alexander to just go into the lane with no one near him and one of your guys on the outside getting crossed over like it's an and-one mix tour. So, yeah, like, they're in a tough spot here. And I think the reason why everyone's losing their minds is because we can clearly see here they have a lot of specialists. And they want people want to trade some of the specialists, some of the expiring contracts, to go get somebody who's a little bit better on both ends of the floor, who costs a little more. So trade four or five of these role players and go get me a better player. But that's not exclusive to the Warriors. It's every team in the league.
No, it's every team in the league. Trust me. It gets frustrating.
That's what fans want. Team.
Yeah, no, I understand what fans want. I understand what fans want.
And they
want
to win.
Well, yeah, I
even
I would
when
so.
They were winning, Bonte, we took calls about the 13th man.
Yeah, I know.
I distinctively remember full entire arguments about who the 13th, 14th, 15th mans were. We always did it.
Some people get irrational. Some people get irrational. I'm just trying to be measured here and see what happens February 6th. Because I understand, here's my notion. People think that I don't want to trade anything. I don't care about trades. Trades are exciting. It's good for content. I'm not going to lose sleep one way or the other over what the Warriors do.
Trades are hard.
I'm really not. If they blew it up, I'd be like, wow, we got something to talk about. If they didn't blow it up, wow, we have something to talk about. But I'm not going to lose a second of sleep over what they do or don't do February 6th. But I am intrigued. Instead of being stressed out about, oh my God, pick a direction, this is intriguing as hell. We're entering one of the most critical trade deadlines the Warriors have faced over the last 12 years. And I think there's a lot of things on the table with the Golden State Warriors in terms of making trades for whatever player there is, whatever piece they want to add here. So I'm intrigued with it, but I'm not going to go crazy every single day about the deadline. Deadline will get here. Trust me. And we'll see what they do. 12 o'clock West Coast time, February 6th.
Just really quick here, Bont, if I can jump here. Just playing off of what you're saying there, I feel like with this trade deadline, the way I read it is a lot of fans looking at this as the Warriors need to make the trade here to make a run for this year. When, you know, I see you talk about the summer. I look at this trade deadline, and I'm curious how many people are with me on this. Like, I look at this as what can they do to kind of set this team up to finish the year strong and then become a more appealing destination this summer for other free agents and trade options that might be available to them as well. So it's like, if they don't make a move, yeah, that would be disappointing, but we'll see how things play out in the summer. But this deadline could be a chance to set themselves up for potentially better moves or better free agency signings this coming summer.
It's possible. It's possible. Well, you don't look too...
I just think that you know, people get exhausted with hearing about the labor and not seeing the baby, right? So you can only get away with that for so long. The thirst for winning is now.
Can you say that phrase again?
Yes, please say.
You can only tell us about the labor so often. I want to see the baby.
Yeah, I like that.
That was good. What did I not say it right?
No, I've never heard that before.
Really?
Never.
Don't tell me about the labor pains. Show me the baby. You've never heard that
phrase? No, and I've had two of them.
Oh.
No, I haven't had the labor, but I had two kids.
Well, I mean, but like, that's support. Look, people, I think if Steph Curry wasn't on this team, everything would feel a little different. But because Steph's here, there's this immediacy that the sand is coming out of the hourglass. And that's why a win like last night is super encouraging and simultaneously frustrating, because you see what they're capable of. You see what he could still do at times, and you're like, you have to do everything you can do to try to put yourself in the championship contention window. If Steph's not on this team, we're taking a more zoomed out approach. We're digesting a win like last night, and we're allowing it to settle without thinking about the dessert.
But you know what? You know what's funny? Is that we talk about these trades, and we talk about everything, and fans being exhausted by this talk. We're part of the problem with this platform, because we can't avoid it. I try to avoid it, just talk about the games, but overall, I feel like we talk about the trades and the deadline. We've been talking about this stuff for 6 months, Kuminga's contract, whatnot. And just like Purdy, I get burnt out from it, saying, man, another day we're going to talk about this guy's money. Who cares? He's going to get paid a lot of money one day.
Bonte, money hung over this team for three years.
Yeah, exactly. But
Clay,
we're going to
Dre, Poole.
No, but I'm not finished, though, Shask. I'm not saying that, but I'm saying the conversation about trades and contracts, when you do it every single day, you get to this point and people get exhausted about it. It's like, damn, we're still talking about this stuff? Deadline's close. It's going to get here. But it feels like we've been talking about this for 6 weeks, 6 months, let alone that.
It's been so, 2 years.
You know, and so when we think about, hey, what are they going to do at the deadline? Well, what players are really available at the deadline? What players that are rumored to be on the move do you really like? Do you really like Zach LaVine? Do you really like that contract? Do you really like Jimmy Butler and what he's done in Miami? Do you really like Vucevic? That's what we got to ask ourselves. And is it worth trading multiple picks or assets when you could just save that for the summer and be in business for something? Like Anthony Sutter said yesterday, we're going to see a lot more players just walk on expiry contracts because of this new damn CBA and the first and second apron, which has been a terrible deal. I think the CBA has been a joke, and it's going to ruin a lot of organizations, and it's going to ruin dynasties in the NBA. I don't know why they went this route. But teams, like Anthony Sutter said, and I subscribe to this, that a lot more teams are going to let players just walk. And they're not going to get nothing back for it. And that's it is what it is, because you may not get much for it at the deadline.
They beat the Utah Jazz. I don't think we got more than one or two calls. Like we talk about what the audience wants to talk about, right? That's unfortunately and fortunately part of the job. And like people are more obsessed with the transactions in the league than they are the actual games.
I'm here to flip that. We should be more worried about the games and the transactions.
Okay, well, then let's talk about the games. You know? The team has been inconsistent.
They have been inconsistent.
They are not good enough, right? I look at this team and you say, well, who's available?
Well, last night.
I look at the Warriors and it's like they should be scouring the earth looking for who's available, because the roster that I've watched has been one of the worst in the league since the 12-3 start.
They are.
Which is why we're relevantly talking about it.
There are. But it gets nauseating at times. When you get a good win last night, then we're still talking about trading Andrew Wiggins. You want to trade that guy, the guy we saw last night, the guy we've seen all season long? I don't subscribe to that. Let's go to No, let's just get it out the way. Let's just get it out the way now. Cameron and Eddie.
Cameron and Eddie. Come on, man. Come on and get it out the way, man. I hear it in your voice. I ain't gonna go too hard. I definitely didn't hear you say that about me the other week, but it's all good. You feel how you feel. But
it was great.
It's the second time he's cursed on the station the last 2 weeks.
Oh, back to Alcatraz.
Sorry, Cam. That's 2 weeks there for you. He's right, though. You are tall.
Man.
Is that what people are most surprised when they meet you in person? Is that how tall you are?
Sometimes. Because, you know, some people, they like.
No, all the time. Cam. Everywhere we go, he stands above everyone.
But the keyboard warriors who like to throw slurs my way, and then they meet me, they're like, oh. Maybe I shouldn't be saying that towards you. I'm not a fighter. I'm a lover. I can't fight. So to anybody who slanders me on the internet and I meet you and you say, oh, my God, you're so tall. Don't worry. I'm a gentle teddy bear.
Cameron's telling me on the phone that he thinks you should be on the court playing ball. That's how tall you are.
Yeah, well,
I assume he was going to say that at some point. But you know.
I'm in my 40s and I don't have a lot of endurance these days. So I may be able to give you 5 2-minute stints on the court like I'm Kobe or LeBron.
Yeah, that's more than Quinn Post last night.
David Pleasanton, what's up, Dave?
Hi, Dave.
What's up, fellas? How are you?
Hey. Good, Dave.
Hey, so I'm going to say I would trade Draymond in a heartbeat, and I've been saying it for 2 years. He's degrading. We can see it. I don't think he offers anything. The other thing I want to say is I look at ownership and the GM like, every day we wait to give Steph another chance, we are slapping him in the face. If we owe anybody anything, it's Steph, because especially Larry Ellison. He made Larry Ellison so much money. So everybody's on the table except for Curry and Kuminga to me. And if they don't do anything, they're slapping Curry in the face. That's the way I look at it.
Larry Ellison, do you mean Joe Lacob?
Joe Lacob. I don't know why I said Ellison.
No, he was the guy I wanted to win, run the team, but didn't get the bid. I think a lot of people, not everyone, but I think a lot of people feel that way, where it's like, hey, look, you owe it to what you've got going. It's the way we felt at the end of the Bonds year. Really? Moises Alou's the best you can do in the lineup besides Barry Bonds? Mm-hmm. Come on, man, do something. You know, I think a lot of people feel that way. I know my boy Mike Tercey, who goes to all the games, got season tickets, is trying to drag me out there last night. I had too much stuff going on. He was like, hey, like, this team is not good enough. I want them to make a move. Like, I'm invested emotionally and financially into this team, and I signed up for what I thought would be a team that was going to compete for championships, knowing that sports is cyclical and things happen and they're out of control.
Making a move just to make a move, is that smart business for your organization?
Well, he's one of their consumers, right, and he wants them to just make a move because the product he's watching hasn't been compelling.
So just make a move
enough.
Just to make a move. Well, that's not, where we're at.
He's a consumer,
okay, yeah,
and he's not happy with the product.
So he wants to make a move because he's not happy with the product.
If it's for a restaurant, the dish isn't that good. Right. Let's change
this
the dish.
This ain't a restaurant. This is pro sports with human beings playing left and right and some of the greatest players in the world who don't grow on trees. There's 450 players in the NBA. We think all of a sudden, hey, you know what? This guy's not good enough. Let's make a trade to get a better player. It doesn't work like that. Everybody's looking for better players. Everybody's looking for it. I don't understand.
We know
that
it's hard. We're saying what people are asking
for. People are trying to, they're trying to make a trade. Now, on the other side of things, too, other teams that are willing to trade know that when you get closer to the deadline, you're going to get a desperate team or two, which may make your package a little bit better. So, you know what? Stop it. Like, trades are going to happen. It's like, well, I know consumers matter. I get all that, but trades making a trade hard. Just to make a trade? Are we getting bored out here? We just want to see something different just to be different and have the same results? No, I want to make a trade to get better or put my organization in a better place. And trading for Jimmy Butler ain't putting this organization in a better place. Now you're saddled with Jimmy Butler and a $52 million player option. Whoo. That's tough. That's tough to accept. We're going to get to the rest of the lines. George Sedano coming up at 8:30. Let's get to the injury report.
It's time for the injury report.
That really hurt.
Brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years.
All right, a tough break for the San Jose Sharks, man. Damn. Injuries galore in the Bay Area. They announced that center Nico Strum will be out until the All-Star break, until after the All-Star break. Wow. He's dealing with the lower body injury that has cost him 4 games already. The Sharks will also be without Jan Ruda during the time, as well as he continues to recover from a lower body injury. He's also expected to be back after the break, so the Sharks are beat up. They're struggling. One of the worst teams in the league. They are excited, though. They are excited. They got back with Celebrity, but Sharks dealing with some injuries here as they get ready for the All-Star break. The injury report brought to you by Boxer Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years. Who's Hillary? What's Hillary's sister name? Hillary from Boxer Gerson, who just celebrated.
She works with my buddy. She works with KGO.
KGO. Gosh, I will look this up. But I ran into her last night.
Uh-huh.
And she was also with, who's the new GM of the Giants? Zach Manasian's wife.
ABC.
Yeah. They were together.
Yeah,
I chopped it up with him.
Yeah.
Chopped it up with him. She wanted me to introduce the GM of the Giants, but I had to run and go do halftime. But they're great people. Good to see them yesterday. Hillary's sister today. Damn it. How did I forget it?
Damn it.
I'm getting hair on. I'm going to look at Hillary's Instagram profile. I am saving the show right now. Where's she at? Damn, I don't even know. Oh, wait. It is Lindsay. Lindsay's a sister day. Hi, Lindsay. Great to see you last night. All right. More coming up. Brought to you by Fremont Bank. Your phone calls. Antoine and Nick in Berkeley. Here for you. Here for good. What do you do if you're the Warriors right now? What do you do?
Jonathan Kuminga.